Item number five, which is PIER 2019-2663, preliminary final plat SD 2020-193, waiver to the IDO for the alley, VA 2020-377, for Group 2 U26 VC LLC at Kimmick Drive between Visale Del Norte and Rosa Parks Drive Northwest. Okay, and the applicant's agent is Consensus Planning. So, Ms. Fishman, are you representing this case?
Yes, great. I am.
Please go ahead and introduce yourself. I guess an address is always helpful. I should be doing that.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair. This is Jackie Fishman, Consensus Planning. My address is 302 8th Street Northwest, Albuquerque, 87102. I'm here on behalf of the applicant to create a plat that matches our 2017 DRB approved site plan for subdivision. Okay.
Before you get too carried away, I'm going to swear you in. All right. That's all good stuff, but I want it sworn testimony. Ms. Fishman, do you swear affirm to tell the truth?
I do.
Okay, proceed.
Okay, so as I was saying, we have an existing approved 2017 site plan for subdivision in I think it was 2019. It seems like a long time ago. Maybe it was this year. We did a zone change to create a zone line that matched the site plan for subdivision. This was, again, I can't remember the date of the approval, but I guess it was 2020. And we are simply trying to create a plat that matches the zone line that was created with the EPC's approval of the zone map amendment, and also matches the line that was created with our DRB approved site plan for subdivision. Michael Voss is here with me today as well. He's going to be speaking on a couple of the comments that we received. And I'm hoping our applicant, which is Steve Metro, I think he was having some computer problems this morning.
He's here now. I just saw him admitted.
Yeah, he got admitted.
Okay,
good. So,
all right.
Ready.
Okay, let me go to Mr. Voss. Please quickly introduce yourself and I'll swear you in. And you seem to be not muted, but somehow not coming through. I don't know if your audio is connected. We still can't hear you, Mr. Voss. There might be just something where your mic isn't connected because you don't show that you're muted. Just while we're doing that, is Mr. Metro wishing to speak as well?
Yes, I'm here for questions or address the engineering project.
Okay. Go ahead and introduce yourself and your address, and I'll swear you in.
I'm Stephen Metro, 9108 Galaxy Way Northeast, Albuquerque, 87111.
And you're the engineer on the project?
Yes.
Okay. Mr. Metro, do you swear affirm to tell the truth?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Let me go back then to Mr. Voss and see if we've got audio now for him.
Yes, can you know?
Fantastic. Okay.
Excellent. Yes, Madam Chair, Michael Voss, Senior Planner with Consensus Planning, 302 8th Street Northwest.
And I think there's some background noise now, but oh well. Do Mr. Voss, do you swear for him to tell the truth?
I do.
Okay. And do you have anything to say at this point, Mr. Voss?
This is Michael Voss. I do not have anything at the moment, but we'll speak when responding to some comments probably.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, and we'll need to see, there's another speaker in your vicinity that we can hear very clearly. Let's then go to the public and see if there's any member of the public that wishes to speak on item 5. Please raise your hand or unmute and speak up. All right, I'm not seeing anyone. For this case, I'm going to first turn to planning because I think we need to talk a little bit about process before we get into some of the details on infrastructure. And so generally planning was looking at this yesterday and determining that, do I have the right case? Yes. Okay, I'm a little confused at this moment, Ms. Fishman, because it seemed like your application was for a bulk land waiver. As a preliminary final plat. Okay, so we were kind of looking at some of the requirements for that with regard to the IDO when you applied and the DPM that would be in place when you applied. And the size of your application is under those under the threshold that would allow you to do a bulk land waiver. The DPM in place at the time of your application would have said, and that would have been the guiding document with a specificity to help us know, and that was 40 acres. And now there's a provision in the IDO that's current, not at your time of your application, but that's 20 acres, so you would still miss the minimum threshold for a bulk land plat or waiver with having 15.7 acres. And let me go ahead while you're thinking about that. Mr. Rodenbeck, are you giving comments on this case?
Yeah, this is Joe Rodenbeck. Yes,
yeah, I am. Yeah, let's go ahead and get your other comments because they kind of work, they all work together to give us pause for how this should be platted. Go
Madam
ahead, Mr.
Chair,
Rodenbeck.
Do you want me to go, so you want me to just go over the other comments in addition to the DPM?
Okay. Right.
Just regarding the plat in action, you got us the copy of the plat with the owner's signature. So we are good on that. We still have utility and AMAFCA signatures and project application numbers that need to be added to the plat. And we need the DXF file approval email from Aegis. We also need information to be provided on the permit. It was issued for the gravel operation on the site, including if it was permitted and whether or not the permit has expired, and if it's expired, when did it expire? Additionally, we need all details to be provided regarding the end use and remediation of the site. And then we had a couple comments that we'd had from the sketch plat, which is just provide a map or graphic showing the zoning boundary lines approved by the EPC, and the plat show zoning lines or have a measurable description of the zone boundaries. Those were the comments that we had, in addition to DPM comments.
Madam Chair, if I could answer a couple of those questions.
Sure, and just please identify yourself as you speak.
I'm sorry, Jackie Fishman, Consensus Planning. Starting from the easiest ones first, at the bottom, we do have a measurable description of the zone boundaries. The EPC approved the zone boundary per the approved site plan for subdivision. It was in our notice of decision, and that may not have been uploaded when we made this submittal, but it is a measurable distance. It was a not a major issue, but it was certainly a subject that we discussed during the EPC process. So it does measure, and it does match the approved site plan for subdivision. So we can take care of that. My understanding from the applicant and engineer is that the gravel mining has, or gravel operation has ceased at least a year ago. There is some stockpiling of materials there under a permit issued by Environmental Health, I think good for the next 5 years. So we can provide that. I'm not sure it's related to the plat, but we can provide it regardless. In terms of the bulk land issue and the 40 acres or the 20 acres, again, the plat was a requirement of the site plan for subdivision from 2017. It's a requirement from EPC's zone change approval. We're trying to meet those. I understand that it's smaller than what the DPM or IDO requires. I've done this in the past that was less than those acreages many, many times. And, you know, I was hoping that we, given the situation here and the amount of improvements and dedication through the SAD, that there could be an exception to that, but apparently not. I just feel like we're stuck between a rock and a hard place in this issue, and not sure where to go from here. I mean, I guess if we go the preliminary final plat without the bulk land variance, I'm not sure the comments will be any different than what we received for this morning. So the applicant needs to make that decision. But meanwhile, the city's zone map doesn't reflect what the EPC approved. So I'm not sure how we'll be able to address that in the future. We're stuck.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Fishman. And I think we're trying to sort this all out with you. I think the EPC condition is for platting, not necessarily a bulk land plat. Right. The problem with the bulk land plat is just meeting the requirements. There is an additional provision that says the a bulk land subdivision of property that is primarily intended to facilitate transfer to immediate landholders, not to create parcels available for development without further subdivision approvals. And so I'm not sure what you're doing quite meets that intent.
Madam Chair, this is Jackie again. Jackie,
yes.
There is no immediate development being proposed. This owner has been sort of stuck and bleeding funds on this property for years and years and years. The front part that was the subject of the zone map amendment will be parceled out if and when there's a interested user. It will come back through the DRB for further subdivision. It will likely have to have a site plan approval. So this is an intermediate step, and certainly not ready for development at this point.
Okay. And Ms. Fishman, when you all were, I don't know if it was you, but there was a sketch plot done on this in August, and I went out and visited the site and took some photographs. There's quite a bit of rock piles and various things still on the site, and I provided those photographs to members of the DRB. And so part of our concern is how is all that going to be resolved? So maybe you or Mr. Metro can talk a little bit more, because it doesn't look like anyone's ready to move on that site in any way right now in the condition it's in. And so maybe you can help us understand this environmental permit, what's going on there, what the storage is like, how long, when is this, I think our big question is when and how is this site going to be cleaned up and remediated from this prior use?
Okay, Madam Chair, Jackie Fishman, Mr. Metro, can you address it?
Yes, the property was basically leased to Guzman Construction Solutions, Inc., and they used this kind of as a staging area when they were areas being developed up there, particularly the Petroglyphs Estates and the area just to the south there. Anyway, once the housing got close, I mean, then the crushing operation had to cease. It could not get re-permitted, so he discontinued that. But he did have materials there that it kind of resulted from the site and the development that he was using to use for fill for those lots down in the Petroglyph Estates and some of the other areas. He has now and been cleaning it out as we go along with the process, but we've been trying to work out where he will remove all the materials from the site and return it to its original condition, and just a matter of getting him to do that. It's been in the works now for quite a while, but as soon as he can get his crews and things in there, he will clear the site out. The rock will be moved down to his crusher operations down in the South Valley, and or wherever he has his crushing operations now. I mean, we'd have to check with Guzman to find out what his plans are. But that's the status. Everything's to be removed in there. It's supposed to have been done by now, but it's just because of various reasons, it's just taking more time.
Okay, I want to turn to our city engineer, Mr. Biazar, to comment.
This is Shahab Biazar. Madam Chair, I just had a question. Is there a deadline for a replat from EPC, or is it just the condition of EPC?
Madam Chair, Jackie Fishman, my understanding, Shahab, is at the time that we had the zone change approval, there was no deadline. So I think before, in that, you know, the procedures before the IDO, we would have had a 6-month deadline with the 6-month extension. Now with the IDO amendments, some of the deadlines have been brought back, but at the time when we had our zone change approved, there was no deadline. So this could stay in this interim condition for years to come, I guess, potentially.
Madam Chair, this is Shahab Biazar. I guess if there's no deadline, because, I mean, the applicant doesn't meet the Buckland variance or waiver, I would suggest that, you know, we defer this or just let the applicant come back when there's an actual developer who wants to develop this site, because otherwise we will require infrastructure improvements surrounding the property, and probably most likely we need the site cleaned up prior to, or have that put on an infrastructure list prior to plotting approval. So I don't believe the applicant is ready to financially guarantee all the improvements surrounding the property in order to clean up the site, but I leave that up to them.
And Madam Chair, Jackie Fishman again, my understanding, and Steve can jump in, as you know, much of the infrastructure has been put in place, and I think we're only looking at sidewalks at this point. So it may not be as big of a deal as we might think, that that if it's only sidewalks, that have to be financially guaranteed. But because there's such little interest in this area from any commercial development standpoint, Mr. Metro and his partners need to decide if he wants to drop a bunch of money, you know, on this property when there's nothing imminent that's going to happen here. And we're hoping that's going to change, because I personally have worked on this property for at least 3 years, and there's been a lot of commitment from this applicant on this property, but it just hasn't come to fruition.
Mr. Biazar, do you have anything more to add?
No, Madam Chair, just like one quick thing. I mean, the improvements do not have to be necessarily constructed at this time, but I mean, they have to go on an infrastructure list, and it has to be financially guaranteed somehow. And, we've allowed, different ways of financial guarantee improvements. And it may be such a way that you could still go through a plotting action, but it'll take some effort to come up with an infrastructure list, because, and I'm not sure, like I said, what are the improvements that are required, but you may have to go through some other analysis, like a gradient drainage plan and some other stuff, in order to come up with an infrastructure list. But I don't think you guys are ready to do that. I'll leave it up to you guys to decide how you want to move forward.
Madam Chair, Jackie Fishman again. Shahab, we do have a approved grading and drainage plan from 2017 that was part of our site plan for subdivision. We also have a conceptual utility plan that was approved in 2017. So, we do have those in place.
Yeah, and Ms. Fishman, I kind of did us out of order. I think it will be illuminating to see what the different DRB members are saying about the infrastructure required, and we'll go through that, and then we can kind of circle back to this question. I think the other thing that's of concern is we don't have documentation about the environmental permit on the site. What are the requirements? What are the parameters? When is expiration? When is all this stuff going to be removed and remediated? Because it's quite an eyesore now, and there's a lot of residential that is in the area right next to this, as Mr. Metro mentioned. I think for right now, let's go ahead and go to the the other DRB member comments, and we'll kind of see maybe a little clearer where we should be. So let's go to Water Authority now.
Hello to the development team. This is Chris Cadena with the Water Authority. There was no information for me to review in the DRB Dropbox. I wasn't able to provide any comments other than what was provided at Sketchplat, which was there's pro rata owed to the property, and that shall be paid prior to plat approval. You'll need an availability statement prior to approval, and public water and sewer extensions are likely to be extended or required. There is a draft Volcano Heights Sector Development Plan that dates to October 2019 and provides a preliminary layout for the area. Some of those elements could be included for this particular development. And also there was a sewer analysis done by CDM Smith that identified some sewer along Casales del Norte. Your property doesn't drain to that, but we would look at other opportunities to get your flow for your property. Those would be on an infrastructure list. That's all that I have. Thank you.
Any questions on that?
Madam Chair, Jackie Fishman. No, not from me. I don't know if Steve, you have any comments?
No, I don't have any.
Okay, code enforcement.
Carl Garcia with code enforcement. Code enforcement reviewed this request and has no objections or comments at this time. Thank you.
Okay, parks and recreation.
This is Cheryl Sommerfeld with Parks and Rec. We have no objection to the request.
Okay, hydrology.
Ernest Armijo, hydrology. The previously approved conceptual grading and drainage plan with engineer stamp date of July 28, 2017 was for a different platting layout of the cliffs at Paseo. This application is for a smaller portion of that approval. Therefore, an approved updated grading and drainage plan is required prior to approval of this platting action. This site falls within the Piedras Mercatus Watershed Drainage Management Plan and must follow the conditions of it. A MAFCA approval will be needed prior to hydrology approval. Cross-lot drainage easement note specifying the beneficiary and maintenance agreement needs to be further defined. For future, approved grading and drainage plan is required prior to building permit if any of these conditions is met. 500 cubic yards of grading, 1,000 square foot of proposed building, or 10,000 square foot of proposed paving.
Any questions for Mr. Armijo?
Madam Chair, Jackie Fishman, no.
Transportation.
Yes, this is Jean Wolfenberger with Transportation. There's some comments I brought up at sketch plat stages in light of the fact that we aren't going with the bulk land waiver. So comply with the Paseo del Norte study and meet with DMD prior to deciding what kind of right-of-way dedication is needed here. The total requested right-of-way, I believe, will be 156 feet wide. Cross-section shall be provided, and again, I think coordination with DMD should be needed before deciding that. We need roadway cross-sections for all the roads surrounding the site. As was mentioned before, we need sidewalk, and there are some streets that require bikeways as per the bikeway master plan. Obviously, as mentioned before, an infrastructure list shall be needed, and that will include all the roadway required roadway improvements. For future site plan, that'll have to be submitted through DRB for approval, and a traffic study may be needed based on number of trips generated for future development. That's an informational comment.
Madam Chair, Jackie Fishman again. There was a traffic impact study done for this site, and we understand it may have to be updated if we exceed any of the assumptions in that. We talked a little bit about the infrastructure list, and we believe it's just a sidewalk that will be needed. But in terms of your first two comments, we believe that we show, and we may need to just submit more information, that there is 156 feet of right-of-way at Paseo. Or, you know, that this property owner dedicated enough to meet that requirement. And then for Kimmick and Rosa Parks, I think Michael Voss wanted to address that. Michael, why don't you go ahead and talk about that issue?
Yes, this is Michael Voss, and hopefully you can't hear anything in the background any longer. I adjusted my mic sensitivity. To reiterate what Jackie just said about Paseo, and we can provide it, that the SAD, we have the Special Assessment District cross sections, and this applicant did dedicate their half section, and that is actually reflected in the Paseo del Norte study as to the location of the existing right-of-way within the future full right-of-way for Paseo. And then for Kimmick and Rosa Parks, the DPM states that roadway design and width shall be based on previous studies that have been done in the last 10 years. This was part of the Volcano Cliff Sector Development Plan, which had roadway cross-sections. Those cross sections include a 58-foot section for Rosa Parks and a 70-something section for this portion of Kimmick, both of which match the cross sections from the Special Assessment District and have already been dedicated. So no more additional right-of-way should be dedicated for this project based on those prior studies that have been done and the dedications that have been made to date. And we can provide, you know, the graphics and things from those studies that would confirm those cross sections. The comment about the bikeways, I guess there's the sector plan did not necessarily include bikeways on their proposed cross sections for these streets. They instead included on-street parking on portions of it. So, but I think that's something that might be able to be accommodated within the existing right-of-way if that's the preference of the city. But again, I think the studies indicate that what's been done to date is sufficient.
This is Jean Wolfenbarger with Transportation. Yes, I'd be willing to look at information provided. We'll probably just have to have more discussion about the bikeways because that is per the Mr. Cog's master plan. So I do think we need to have further discussion about that. And there have been some updates with regard to what's planned for Paseo del Norte. So a lot of my comments are based on that. DMD's taking the initiative on that right now. So I think we do need to have these discussions and coordinate with DMD prior to planning approval.
Okay. Anything else on transportation? Questions or comments? All right, thank you. Let's go to, where do we go? I guess we've already done the planning comments. So we're definitely looking at a deferral, and I think what we're advising is for a revised application that's for a regular preliminary plat as opposed to a bulk land waiver. Ms. Fishman, where should we go from here? Do you want a deferral so many weeks out and you can process some of this?
Yeah, Madam Chair, I think we need a deferral so that the applicant can weigh his options.
Sure.
And we can figure out if we withdraw this application and reapply with a regular, you know, preliminary plat with the infrastructure list or what we do from here. I don't know that he's decided yet.
Okay.
Other partners that he has to talk to and make sure that they want to commit this much effort to us that nothing's happening on, so.
Okay, and just please note that with this application or any future application, we do need that all the information about the rock operation and the environmental health permitting and all the parameters about that for us to evaluate. Okay. So what's a good timeline for this? Like I said, we meet December 16th, and then we're back again on January 6th, and all the weeks in January.
Madam Chair, I would ask, this is Jackie again, Steve, if you have a thought as to how far out you want to go?
No, as I kind of have said, you know, we have no strong buyer or anything for it. We're just trying to meet the EPC requirement on that zone change is the reason for the plat. But so, I mean, the property owners have no rush on anything to get this done as long as we don't miss a deadline or something regarding that.
So, Madam Chair, this is Jackie again. Why don't we defer for a month? And I think that would give us some time to figure some of this stuff out.
Okay. So would, do you want to be January 6th or do you want to be January 13th?
Let's make it January 13th.
Okay. Or it could be January 20th if you want a time to get into the new year.
Let's stick with the 13th and then
okay.
If we get close to that and we need more time, I'll let your staff know.
Okay. Is there a motion to defer item number 5 to January 13th of 2021?
This is Cheryl Sommerfeld with Parks and Rec. I move to defer item number 5 to January 13th, 2021.
Thank you.
Ernest Armijo, Hydrology, second.
Okay, thank you. Please vote.
Chris Cadena, Water Authority, I approve.
Carl Garcia with Code Enforcement, I approve.
Cheryl Sommerfeld, Parks and Rec, I approve.
Ernest Armijo, Hydrology, I approve.
Jean Wolfenberger with Transportation, I approve.
And Jolene Wolfley, DRB Chair, approves. Item number 5, PR 2019-2663, Preliminary Final Plat 2020-193, and waiver to IDO 2020-377 is deferred to January 13th of 2021. You're like our first case for 2021. That's kind of exciting. So thank you. And thanks for working with us on that. We, you know, you've got a lot of difficult circumstances and we want to make sure that the property gets some of the things that it needs as well. So
thank you.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Voss, Mr. Metro, Ms. Fishman. Thanks. All right. We are on item number 6, which is PR 2020-4622, Extension of Subdivision Improvements Agreement, SD 2020-188, for the University of New Mexico Real Estate Office on Gibson Boulevard between University and I-25. And Bohannon Houston is representing, there's Mr. Patak. Okay, let's see. Go ahead, Mr. Patak. I realize we are on minor cases and I don't necessarily need to swear you in. So if you'll just introduce yourself and go ahead and introduce your request.
Sure, thank you again. My name is Amit Patak with Bohannon Houston, address 7500 Jefferson Street, Northeast, Albuquerque, 87109. This agenda item is essentially for the Gibson commercial tracks 1 through 10. Essentially, the proposed development is not anticipated to happen before the expiration of the previous SIA, so therefore we're requesting that the SIA be extended for another 2 years.
Okay, thank you. Short and sweet. All right. Let me see. Is there any member of the public that wishes to speak on item number 6 on Gibson Boulevard? Please raise your hand or speak up now. All right. Did I hear somebody? Ms. Gould, do you know who that is trying to speak?
This is Maggie Gould, Madam Chair. I don't see a raised hand, and I don't know if that's somebody wanting to speak or if that's background noise.
Right.
If somebody does want to speak, can you please either just speak or raise your hand? Right. I'm once again not seeing anybody.
For some reason we've missed you, we will make up for it, but right now I'm going to go to DRB comments. Water Authority.
Hello, Amit. It's Chris Jenna with the Water Authority. I have no objection to this request. Thank you.
Thank you. Code Enforcement.
Carl Garcia with Code Enforcement. Code Enforcement reviewed this request and has no objections or comments at this time.
Thank you. Parks and Recreation.
This is Cheryl Sommerfeld with Parks and Recreation. We have no objection to the extension. I was wondering if you could tell us about the project. I wasn't on the board when this was originally heard, and we have a project plan for the property right south of Lowell Elementary. And on one of the pages of the application, it appeared that this was that was part of this request. So I just, for information's sake, if you could say what is being planned.
Yep, this is Ahmed from Bohannon, Houston. I can explain that. I don't think there was any development near Lowell Elementary, but I can kind of generally explain our property and the anticipated development. Essentially, the initial plans was to have a commercial development, a couple big box retail, and some other small lots being developed within the property boundary. From what I understand, Lowell Elementary is east of University, so I think it was just within the boundary to notify neighbors, but there's no anticipated impact to that development.
Thank you.
Okay, hydrology.
Ernest Armijo, hydrology. We have no objection.
Okay, transportation.
This is Jean Wolfenberger with transportation. It shall be noted that any future site plan changes should warrant a traffic study. And per the city engineer, a new lien is needed and an update of the financial guarantee amount to reflect current prices shall be required. And then going forward, just keep in mind that the upcoming Gibson Interchange project from DOT, you'll need to coordinate with them.
This is Ahmed Bohannon Houston. Thank you for those comments. I think the signalization cost for the first item on your comments is that we don't have specific costs at the moment, but we'll definitely add that to the financial guarantee at that time. And so as such, we're hoping that this doesn't necessitate the requirement of amending the infrastructure list, that we can, again, address that during the financial guarantee.
This is Jean Wolfenberger with transportation. Yes, that all I can accept that.
Thank you.
Okay,
this is Ahmed.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to, this is Ahmed from Bohannon Houston. I was just going to address the other items. I think the other comment, for comment two, Jean, I was just going through that in more detail, that that westbound right turn on the infrastructure list is specific to accessing tract one and just that tract because it's landlocked. So this just happens to line up with Mulberry, but there's no anticipated work south of Gibson on Mulberry.
This is Jean with transportation. Thank you for the clarification.
This is Ahmed again. Maybe just to put that one last item, we'll I think comments three and four are noted. We understand that. Item number five will definitely verify that the cost estimate is, you know, per the 2018 cost guide.
Thank you. This is Jane.
Okay, Ms. Wolfenberger, this is Chair Wolfley. Can you help me understand then, are we good? Are you good to go on the extension today?
This is Jean Wolfenberger with transportation. My questions have been answered and a lot of my comments were informational. Yes, I'm good to go.
Okay. Planning.
This is Jay Rodenbeck. Planning has no objection to the two-year extension.
Okay. So let's see, it looks like we're ready to vote on this one. Had a lot of deferrals, so it'll be interesting to have a non-deferral. I will ask each board member to vote to approve or deny the request for an extension, a two-year extension of the subdivision improvements agreement. And let's go ahead and vote, starting with Water Authority.
Chris Cadena, Water Authority, I approve.
Carl Garcia with Code Enforcement, I approve.
Cheryl Sommerfeld with Parks and Rec, I approve.
Ernest Armijo, Hydrology, I approve.
Jean Wolfenberger with Transportation, I approve.
And Jolene Wolfley, DRB Chair, approves. There is a consensus vote of the DRB to approve PR 2020-4622, two-year extension of subdivision improvements agreement SD 2020-4622. 188 because it meets the requirements of IDO and DPM. And thank you. So that is approved. And Ms. Gould, please feel free to point something out if I miss something on these votes. So